This first reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 48. And you can follow it on page 841 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus is returning from across the Sea of Galilee. Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Just then, there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering hemorrhages for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, please hear, help us to hear your word. Help us to understand your word. And then help us, please, to live your word in daily life. Amen. In a Radio 4 program about the National Trust, an interviewer asked the National Trust representative, she asked, "Tell me, please, what is the single biggest problem facing the National Trust in the maintenance of its properties?" Now, the answer surprised me. I was expecting lack of money, or Death Watch beetle, or all the rain we've been having. But no. The answer was the National Trust's biggest problem is people's desire to touch things. What about that? She made the point that people, the public, touching one object thinks it doesn't matter. But imagine a million people touching that same object. That does matter. Because, she said, touching wears things out. Touching wears things out. Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Did that act of touching by the woman in the crowd, the one suffering hemorrhage for 12 years, did that act of touching wear Jesus out? Well, we're not told. What we are told is that Jesus noticed that power had left him. And Luke continues, the woman was healed, and Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now that reading from the New Testament, which I chose especially for today's service, illustrates very well the connection when Jesus walked this earth, the connection between faith and touch. And there are, of course, many other examples in the New Testament of Jesus touching people, and they were healed. In other words, touch and faith and healing seem to go together. Touch and faith and healing. But I say, having made that statement, let God be God. Let God be God. For there are also in Scripture examples where there was faith, but no touch, and healing. When there was touch and no evidence of faith, and there was healing. And just to complicate things, I can think of one very well-known New Testament example where there was both faith and touch, I presume the touch, and yet no healing. I'm thinking of St. Paul and his ongoing infirmity, which he described as his thorn in the flesh. Nasty, that, to have a thorn in the flesh, either an actual thorn or a metaphorical thorn. I think Paul used the phrase a thorn in the flesh to describe some sickness or disorder that troubled him for some long time and for which Paul found no relief, no healing, despite, he says, having asked God three times, that it might leave him. And knowing how the early church conducted itself in those far-off days, I believe Paul's prayer for healing would have been accompanied by the laying on of hands by his fellow disciples. Touch. So where have we got to? Illustrations, examples of faith and touch resulting in healing. Faith and no touch resulting in healing. Touch with no evidence of faith still resulting in healing. And faith, and I presume touch, resulting in no healing. But as I say, let God be God. In the areas of faith and touch and health and healing and prayer and the purposes of God, we have to admit that we are in the presence of a great mystery. I'll say that again. In the areas of faith and touch and health and healing and prayer and the purposes of God, we are in the presence of a great mystery. But that is no reason, whatever our need, for not putting ourselves in that place with a prayerful and trustful attitude of heart and mind, putting ourselves in that place, as we shall do today, where healing becomes possible for us and for others. For us and for others. For individuals, and I believe for communities as well. For our coming forward this morning need not only be for ourselves, the laying on of hands for our needs, but as the prayers for thanksgiving which follow the laying on of hands, rather which follow this talk, state very clearly, we may come forward on behalf of the needs of others. We may come forward on behalf of the needs of others whom we can silently have in mind as we come forward. indeed, in our hearts and minds could well be the needs of this whole world. And what a needy world we inhabit today. Let me summarize. Jesus, our friend and healer, meets each one of us at our point of deepest need. Jesus used touch often, and each one of us can experience that healing touch through each other. And what we should be doing a little later on this morning is to place ourselves where God's love, God's peace, God's healing may best flow into us and through us into the life of the world. Now, a final word. In a little while, eight ministers, that's the word we use for those who are going to lay their hands on each other today, eight ministers will come forward as your representatives to offer you the laying on of hands, seeking to be the channels which God might use in the forwarding of his purposes. But as this is done, may we all please be very aware that the world is not divided into those who minister and those who need ministration. The world is not divided between those who help and those who need help. There is no such hard and fast dividing line. Rather, the world is full of men and women, old people, young people, sick people, well people, who are on a pilgrimage together, and we all need each other. And happy are those, and wise are those, whose lives touched by God, healed by God, in turn, go out and touch the lives of others. Not necessarily physically, but touch in the sense of together, we all need to be channels of God's healing, God's grace, God's peace. We all live in a very needy world, but it is God's world, created by him, redeemed by Jesus, indwelt by the Spirit. It is God's world, and we are his people, called by him always and everywhere to do his will. Always. Amen.